Okay, we're learning Chayvus Halvavus. It's Monday night. We're in the Hakdama, and we're on page Tes Zayin. And he now is going to describe, as I just said, he's going to describe the Sefer. The last four lines on page Tes Zayin. If you were here last night, he described a little his mahalach in writing the Sefer, how he structured it in terms of what kind of logic he uses. Very interesting last night, but if you aren't here, you missed it. When I decided, the last four lines on page Tes Zayin, when I decided, Likboa Yisodei Chovitz Halvavus Besifri Zeh, okay, I'm writing a sefer now with the principles of Chovitz Halvavus. And he wrote, and it's like, remember, he wrote throughout the Hakdama how fundamental it is, how all-encompassing it is. It covers, like, the whole Torah is really based on Chovitz Halvavus. Chovitz Haivorim comes in second place, no question about it, he has already said. Ishtamashti, I used b'shikul daiti, so how did I pick out? I didn't have a Shulchan Aruch to go to. I used my seichel, I used my own shikul adas, the b'chira, so I'm picking out the 10, Chovitz Halvavus is split up into 10 sha'arim. That means he picked 10 what he considered to be fundamental areas of Chovitz Halvavus. And he said, I picked out generalities that would incorporate within them other Chovitz Halvavus also. That's what these words mean. That they would include and incorporate with, you know, he made very general sha'arim, so that they should include within them as many Chovitz Halvavus as possible. Umakifem es Yisram. And in other words, they would incorporate within them other Chovitz Halvavus, and like indirectly, he would then talk about mamish all the Chovitz Halvavus. Now he picked fundamental areas that would allow him to, that would include other ones, and that would allow him, I guess, when he goes off a stickle on a tangent, or in explaining this Chovitz Halvavus, so he has to explain others also memela. That's what he says. You call them as ulazim. They include others also. Umakifim, and they would ultimately incorporate es yisram, everything else. Vos kavati es yisodom ha'elyon ubesisam hagadol. Okay, so stop. Now he's explaining. Now he's going to go through each shot, and he's going to say what was first, and he's going to explain the logical sequence. The sefer is very sequenced. Number one, number two, number three, it's in a very specific order. She says, V'oz kavati, so okay, I'm sitting down, and then I established, as yisodom ho'elyon ubesisum ha'godol, the major, most fundamental, absolutely critical, most fundamental, most basic, the one everything else rests on, the Chovitz Halvavus. If you have to, like, pick one, this is the one. Ironically, I'm saying this now, but he says it also, and all the Mepharshim say it. Ironically, it's the one we think least about. And that's Hashem's oneness. That Hashem exists and Hashem is one. You know, Hashem is one. Okay, that's it. Like, it takes around 6 seconds. But it's really, to understand it, and to conceptualize it, to realize the uniqueness of the oneness of Hashem, what it means, and included in that is really like Hashem's nature, call it, to the degree that we can fathom it. That's Achdus Hashem, that's Sha'ar HaYichud. And remember, he said in the Hakdama that if you say you believe Hashem is one because that's the Mesoris you have, that you have by tradition, that Hashem is one, so you, he said, that's babyish. It's good, you know, okay, fine. But it doesn't go very far. That's babyish and childish. He wants you to go through the proofs, go through the logic, compelling logic. There's no such thing. There's not going to be absolute proofs. He told us already. We learned that last week. There's not going to be absolute proofs to this. But you're going to be convinced of it. Not just you're convinced that you're you know, that you weren't lied to, and you know, but you know, in the gamut of proofs and the whole spectrum of proofs, and thinking about it and realizing it, you're going to be convinced. You're going to know in your heart of hearts that it's true. You're not just going to believe that it's true, but it's a din in the Rishonim. It's a famous philosophical question. There's no question about it. That's, he has very sharp words for those who would rely on our Mesorah, who would rely on it just and stop there. Certainly you start off life that way, he says. You go to a kid and even a young adult, you know, what do you want from him? So, you know, certainly you have to start with the Mesorah, but don't stop there. Very not good to stop there. Tohar Yichud Hashem, the specialness, the purity of Hashem's oneness. And remember, he's going to explain Hashem's oneness is different than we normally think of the word one. It's a uniqueness. Hashem must be one by definition, and it's not just one that he's not two. It's unique, and it's, you know, it's whatever he'll be talking about. Okay, so that was Yichud. I then thought, what should I do next? Like, what will be the next one, the next shahr? Acha hayichud, menachovos on his gorim. Hakrovim lo. What? I want to go in order. I want it to be like a chain. This will lead to that. Like, it's going to be a logical shalsheles for the shaorim. This, and then will come that, and then will come that. And indeed, in the Sefer Chavikadolos, he explains that each shahr, even more at length than he will do now in the Hagdama, why it follows the one before it. He says, okay, what's after Shahr HaYichud? The Adati Yidiyah Brura, and I realized, Ki Habore Yisala, Kivan Shu Echod Be'emes, like really objectively and intrinsically, we'll use the word unique, Lo Yasigeu Shem Etzem below Mikra. We can't really fathom his nature. He has no real inherent name, name being a reflection of a thing's muhus, the low mikre, and things don't happen to Hashem. So really, everything we think about and talk about in Shahr HaYichud, we're really not latching on to Hashem, really. I mean, it's really like an intellectual discussion, but we're not really understanding it. Because our minds really can't fathom and can't understand the depth or the subtlety or the, I mean, we just a simple thing, we can't fathom spirituality. Our minds can't conceive of Ruchnius. It's a word, and we know like what it stands for and how it makes a person act, maybe, or but. You know, like, you know, you think of a chair, but we can't think of a malach or ruch, something ruchni. The human mind really cannot conceive of anything ruchnius. Forget about Hashem. Like any ruchnius, it just doesn't match. Our minds are in the physical world. So he says, so really, with all this talk of Hashem, how are you going to, you're not really going to know Hashem. Very frustrating. After all the proofs and all the understandings and everything we're going to work on in Shahr HaYichud, you're going to feel a void. You're going to feel you're not really there. You don't really understand anything. But you have to know Hashem. So how are we going to solve that problem? The Ein Machshavteinu Musugelos, our human minds are not geared lahasig masheino etzem velo mikre. Like, we think of change, we think of things happening, like we say, even when we read the Chumash, right? And Hashem said, like, Hashem is like part of history, right? This happened, and so Hashem reacted, and Hashem had a conversation with someone. It's all very babyish. Hashem doesn't react to anything. Hashem is, and he is. I always like the marshal I like to say over, and it's just a marshal, is that time is Hashem. Like, just like we can't imagine a world without time, right? Our minds can't even think of there being no time, because we say like But time is. Like, it just is. Right? Like, what do you mean there's no time? So what happens the next second? So we say all the words, yeah, because time is change, and if there's no change, there's no time, blah, blah, blah. But really, let's not kid ourselves. The human mind cannot fathom no time. So really, Hashem is that. Like, Hashem is the most, in other words, if I want to think of the most basic, intrinsic, objective reality, that it's not shayach to conceive of the world not having that reality, and my mind could, that would be time. Like, that's what I could think of. But that's, you know, and that's already time. And Hashem is, like, beyond that. Right? So, like, I can't grasp the real reality of Hashem. We can't grasp. Time is a marshal of something that I know, like, is. It just is, man. And the truth is, it's not. I'm kidding myself. Because time is also just a bria that Hashem created. And there's a bria without time. I just, like, notice that. Because what happened the next second, huh? So, he says, so it's very frustrating. You want to know Hashem, and you struggle to know Hashem, and we spend the whole Shar Yichud to know Hashem, and you really don't know Hashem, because our minds can't grasp it. So you know what we're going to do, he says? It's impossible for us. We can't really conceive of Hashem. So you know what a person must do after we recognize intellectually in Shar HaYichud that Hashem exists and Hashem is one and Hashem is unique, and there's an intellectual understanding, but our minds are not going to grasp it. So the only way our minds can grasp anything is by studying nature. When Hashem, and this is like a major, major yisod of the Chovas Halvavos, when Hashem made the world, this is like major yisod of the Chovas Halvavos. It's not just that you look at the world and you use it as a proof that Hashem exists, because there's such order in the world, and there's such planning in the world, and the world is so perfect, and everything stems, so it must be Hashem exists. That's also true. But it's much, much deeper than that, according to Chazal HaBavos. According to Chazal HaBavos, the world is a reflection of Hashem. Hashem put himself into the world. And if you study how things work, and how things exist, and how they're beautiful, and they fit, and they're planned, and everything, and you study the nature of things, that's the closest we'll get to understanding the nature of Hashem. And when you start to grasp how the universe functions, how the world functions, how the physical world that he made functions, you will, that's the only way, and that is the way, that will grasp somewhat the nature of Hashem. Because we'll see, like, how things have wisdom, and planning, and kindness, and chesed, and everything, like, just the way it works. And that's what Shar HaBechina is. So that's why he wrote Shar HaBechina second. Bechina is the word examination, what we would say in English. You examine the world. It doesn't mean testing. It's examination. You examine the world. Shar HaBechina is examining nature, examining the world, examining it, understanding it, seeing how it works, and like copying. Wow, look at that. And you study it, and you immerse yourself in it. That's what the Chovas HaLevavos wants you to do. And he puts that second. And that's the way we're going to have somewhat of a grasp into the nature of Hashem, by studying nature. So it's not just a question of proving that Hashem exists because we see, wow, this is unbelievable. This didn't happen by itself. That's all, it's true, but that's kid stuff. Really, when you see nature and understand nature and chat nature, you will, the Chovas HaLevavos holds, and this is what he does in Shar HaBechina. He says, you're latching on to Hashem put himself into nature. Hashem put his, as much as he's going to reveal himself to the humans, he did that by creating the world. And he wants us to see him and understand him and study him and appreciate him and chap him and relate to him through our understanding of the natural world that he created. And that's what Shaar HaBechina is.